Good morning. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to read again from Frances Hammerstrom's book, Is She Coming Too? Memoirs of a Lady Hunter. This is a chapter called Drifting Down the Yellow, another one of her adventures by herself. Frederick hates portages. I'm more of a romantic type and am willing to put up with quite a lot of inconvenience to hunt wood ducks along a river that seems so wild and untraveled as to be almost pristine. Year after year, I have allowed myself one day to float down the Yellow River. Year after year, I invite Frederick to join me. His refusal to join this worthy hunt is always courteous and always firm, so I go alone. My preparations start the day before. I load the duck boat on top of the station wagon, put my bicycle, gun, shells, paddles, and lunch inside. I take along an axe and plenty of matches. It's still dark when I start out and very, very cold. My only worry is that the wood ducks may have pulled out, not that some of the ice may be too thick for river travel. Day is just breaking when I get to Nisida and hide my bicycle in a jack pine thicket near the river. I drive the 11 road miles upstream to Sprague as quickly as possible, pull the boat off the top of the car, and load my gear into it. I close the car windows as it might snow. The current is pretty swift, and soon I'm paddling downstream at a great clip. I sing to myself, paddling down the yellow just to shoot some ducks. When I get close to the first big oaks near the bank, I stop singing and drift with my gun on the ready. Woodies might be gobbling acorns right within range. The coves are iced up, but the main channel is fast moving. A fallen maple bars my way. It's a 2-minute job to clear a path with the axe, or at least 10 minutes to unload, pull the boat around on shore, and load up again. The axe is not where I thought I'd put it. It's still back in the car. By noon, I had lost track of my portages. Only one was memorable. I was just unloading the boat for another long pull through the vegetation when one lone wood duck whizzed upstream. I dropped it neatly on some ice and, as neatly, went over the tops of my hip boots on the retrieve. So I pulled off my boots, wrung the water out of my socks, and decided to travel barefoot for a while, that is, until the next portage. Even my tough feet are tenderer when cold, and my toes are digging in to pull a rather heavy boat. I put my wet boots back on and ate lunch. The banana I brought along for dessert was not exactly frozen, just black and frost-filled. It was quiet, wondrously quiet, except for chickadees near my lunch spot and the sudden slap of a beaver's tail, close, nearby, and upstream, and I'd never noticed the cuttings. The wood duck in the bow of the boat gave me great pleasure. Frederick and I tend to study a map and plan each hunt, but this was different. It was my private hunt. I didn't have a map with me, and nothing, not even a bottle, can get lost drifting down a river. Pretty soon the river would widen, and this would mean the end of portages. The uneasy feeling that there had been more blowdowns and more portages made me suspect I was behind even my nebulous schedule. Just as the river finally widened, I jumped a duck, which tried to fly and then just skittered on the ice into a cove. A cripple. I suppose it took me a good half hour to break the ice with a paddle and get close enough to finish off that duck, a skinny one at that. Now to paddle for all I was worth to get downstream to my bicycle. Ice, thicker and thicker ice, barred my way. I tried walking the shore and pulling the boat on top of the ice, and then I'd try wading and pushing it. Sometimes I'd find stretches of open water and paddle. There weren't many such vacations. Twilight merged into deep dusk and the blackness of night. I hugged the west bank of the river, plodding, pushing, busting ice. Frederick and the children were undoubtedly eating supper by the big wood stove, but I just wanted to see the light of some farmhouse. And then I did, a light. It was way across the far side of the river. Without hesitation, I broke a trail through the ice toward that light. Farmers are said to go to bed early, so with plenty of noise, I whacked my way toward the farm and beached the boat. The light was still in sight, but not very close. I pushed through some bushes and found a trail, actually a sort of fishing trail that led to the house. I banged on the back door. "May I leave my boat by the river for a while?" The farmer gasped. "You come by boat?" he sputtered. "Come in, come in and get warm. Here, mother, give the lady a cup of coffee." "No, I've got to get my bicycle. Thank you so much. Is it all right to leave the boat, isn't it?" "Yes, but I'll hitchhike." I started down that sandy road hoping for a ride, and then, remembering that state law forbade anyone to get into a car with an uncased gun, I quickly hid my Parker and marked the spot well by a fence. No cars passed, but the ducks seemed to get heavy, so I hung my precious ducks on a maple and marked the spot with a foot drag across the sandy road. Then I went on south. After about a mile, I slowed up and took stock. 1, my boat is at that farm. 2, my gun is hidden by that fence. 3, my ducks are hanging in that maple. 4, my bicycle is in that thicket near Nisita. 5, my car is near Sprague. And furthermore, 6, it is night. 7, it is cold. 8, my boots are heavy. 9, there is no traffic. I plodded on just thinking about little things like getting blisters on my heels. When a car finally came, I stood in the middle of that sand road with my arms spread out and brought it to a full stop. The man who drove it was full of questions. "You live near here?" "No." "You got folks in Nisita?" "No." "What you want to go to Nisita for?" "I have a bicycle in Nisita." The moon came out. It was warm in the car. I dozed off. "Where's your bicycle at?" "Just north of town in a pine thicket." "I'll take you there." He sounded more disbelieving than gallant, and when he stopped, he didn't say goodbye. He just watched to see if I was really going to come out of that thicket with a bicycle. I did, and I waved. He shook his head and drove away. It was 11 long miles to the car. Farms are about half a mile apart along the river road. Each farm had at least one dog. Some had many more. It soon became plain to me that all these dogs had spent their lives waiting for the great moment, namely, on a glorious moonlight night, one female would try to pedal past them while they growled, barked, and grabbed at her legs with their teeth. When I reached the car, it was a great temptation to close the doors firmly against prowling dogs and sleep just for a little while in the back of the station wagon, but Frederick would worry. I put the bicycle in the back of the station wagon instead and drove back past all those dogs, delightfully secure with the doors closed and the windows rolled up. I found my sand scuff, climbed up into the maple and took my ducks down. I found the fence and picked up my Parker. Then I found the farm and drove down to the river to load my boat onto the car. 2 dogs showed less than a helpful spirit, but lights went on in the farmhouse, and both dogs were called off. It was only 50 miles back to our house. When I finally slid into bed next to Frederick, I had been gone for about 20 hours. "You had me worried," he said. Then he asked, "Did you misjudge the distance?" I had blisters on my heels, bruises from dogs' teeth on my legs, and 2 wood ducks in the pump room. I kept my answer simple. "Yes." And that's the end of that chapter. I hope you enjoy Fran's stories as much as I do. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.